for tapes, CDs, DVDs to our publication Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom. Write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
Wednesday morning, December the 27th, 1995. Midwinter Family Camp Meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Brother George Wingate's coming to teach again this morning. And we've had wonderful teaching from everybody in this camp meeting, these services. And we're going to have a whole lot more of it the rest of the week. So get ready to absorb all you can and take it with you so that it'll bless you and help you in the days that lie ahead of us, that's before us. We don't want to think about what's ahead of us, but I myself believe that 96 may be a year like we haven't seen ever in our lifetime. So we need to be prepared for whatever comes our way, and we can stand and say that Jesus is Lord over it all. Amen. Brother George.
I've said it a lot of times, and it'll be teaching at night, you know, and it'll get up there around 9:30, 10 o'clock, and be about time to close, and I just make the comment, you know, if we could just stay till 1 second after midnight, we could get an early start on tomorrow. Oh, hallelujah. I want you all to get a look at the cover of this book, War on the Saints. Now, war is increasing on the saints. And the more that we see here about the evils that's going on and the collapse of the systems and so on, then the more the war will increase on the saints. As we learn to walk in victory, as we learn to walk in peace, love, joy, harmony, the enemy is going to fight harder and harder and harder to bring that person down. It is the purpose of God to cause each and every one of us that name the name of Jesus to become like Him. And the devil is utterly, absolutely terrified at the prospect of there becoming a whole bunch of Jesuses walking around on this earth, because it only took one to defeat Him. And he's terrified that you and I are really going to get down to the nitty-gritty and grasp the truth and the reality of the Word of God, and we're going to become like Jesus. It's going to happen. It's going to happen. War on the Saints is an expose of the deceiving, lying, manipulating powers of darkness like nothing else. And I encourage you and everybody I come across, get yourself a copy of this book. Yes, this one right here, The Unabridged. There's a paperback out there, and it's deleted. A lot of stuff is deleted out of it. The Unabridged. Well, if you can get it and read right through it, then you'll be a first as far as I know. It took me a year, once I first saw this book, it took me a year of fighting the battle in my mind just to purchase it. Then it took another year after I got it before I could ever dig into it. It exposes the enemy. And I guarantee you, folks, he don't like to be exposed. He works as a deceiver from the word go. Amen. He will constantly manipulate your mind and make you think that it's you. Well, I don't know. And all the time, there's nothing more than spiritual entities behind those negative thoughts that are rampaging through your mind. Set your will. Take God at His word. Become an overcomer. Hallelujah. All of us at one time, as we were walking in without Jesus and the fullness of the Holy Spirit, we're like everybody else out there. We were suffering disappointment, disillusionment, desperation, and then finally destruction unless God had interceded. Thank God for the Holy Ghost, the power of God, the Spirit of God, that said, hey, in answer to grandmas or grandpas or some great uncle, aunt, cousin, or nephew, in answer to their prayer, or maybe some person over in China or India or Australia, in answer to their prayer, the Spirit of God drew us out of darkness and into the kingdom of the Son of God's love. Hallelujah. Oh, don't you thank God that he really got after you? Sometimes he has to allow situations, you know, to come about, just like he did with Job. And the devil appeared with the sons of God, and God said, have you noticed my servant Job? Yeah, but you've got a hedge around him. I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll take the hedge down. We'll see what'll happen. You can't have his life. And you read the story. Why did God do all of that? Because God saw down deep inside of Job that little bit of fear. And finally, Job admitted it. He said, the thing that I have feared the most has come upon me. Losing his possessions. What's the lesson in that for us? You don't have any possessions. Once you come to know Jesus, once you give yourself to him, that means you and everything you have. Everything you have, it belongs to God. And if God sees fit and says, okay, in order for you to be what I want you to be, then I'm going to allow situations to come about so that everything falls by the wayside. What does it say in John 15? Jesus said, I am the branch, I am the vine, you are the branches, and every branch in me that will bear fruit, I'm going to prune it so that it will bear more fruit.
Yes.
Before I made my total surrender to the Lord, I had two boats. Both of them were big enough and capable enough of going to the ocean. And I never will forget, I've been a fisherman an awful lot of my life. I know the water. I know how to operate around rough water. And this particular day, I'm down at the jetties fishing, and it's just a little bit sloppy, and I couldn't stand up in the boat. I fell over the seats. I got tangled up in the anchor line. Nothing went right. Finally, I pulled the anchor up in total disgust and headed for home and put the boat up in the yard and put a sign on both of them for sale. God's ways are higher than our ways. And his thoughts are higher than our thoughts. How many of you were not here yesterday morning? I want each one of you to have a copy of this. Phil, would you hand these out, please? Everybody, hold your hand up, and Phil will give you one of these. Essential measures for your daily walk with Jesus. Oh, almost forgot something. Bill, I'll give you a little job, please. Make sure everybody gets one of those. Hallelujah. Now let me get busy here. Give Phil a handful and he can get the other side, Bill. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for my brothers helping me bear my burdens there. Oh, hallelujah. The Lord is so good. Now once you've got one of these little God bless you stickers and the other things, turn your Bibles to Romans chapter 12. That's where we're going to start this morning. And hopefully, I can stay pretty much to my guidelines here, unless the Holy Ghost sort of moves a different direction. He's just sometimes capable of doing that, you know. Hallelujah. Lord, I just thank you for this group this morning. I bless them, Father. And Lord, I just, by faith, step aside and I say, Holy Ghost, you do the ministry this morning. You and the Word bear witness together. And I know everything will be all right. Hallelujah. Most of us are pretty familiar with perhaps all that I'm going to teach on this morning, but still we need to be reminded. And we are to desire the sincere milk of the Word that we might grow. Now, if there's anybody in here that's full grown spiritually, that you don't need anything, why then you're excused. You may go and have yourself a cup of coffee or a sandwich or whatever. Otherwise, why? Then listen on. Romans chapter 12, verses 1, 2, and 3. I'm reading from the Amplified. It's going to amplify a little bit and be a little longer than some of your translations. I appeal to you, therefore, brethren, and beg of you, in view of all the mercies of God, to make a decisive dedication of your bodies, presenting all your members and faculties as a living sacrifice.
Yes.
A living sacrifice.
Yes.
Not a dead one.
Yes.
Holy, devoted, consecrated, and well-pleasing to God, which is your reasonable, rational, intelligent service and spiritual worship. You know, God doesn't ask us to do anything unreasonable. Sometimes we might think, well, now, that's an awful hard task that you're asking me to do, God. God gave me the privilege, the honor of doing something one time, and I had prayed about it. I wanted to go to California to visit my daughter. Now, I didn't have any money and didn't have a decent car at that time. Well, the first thing the Lord did was to supply me with a good car, a little 63 Buick with recapped tires on it. Over 100,000 miles on it. You know, it's a good car. I'm going to California. And then the time come when God just gave me a release and said, okay, now it's time, you can go. I said, okay, God, I'm going to trust you. I've got a tank full of gas and $7, and I'm going to California. I mean, from Jacksonville. Now, I wasn't just outside of California. I was in Jacksonville, Florida, and I'm going to California. Well, it took me 2 months to get to California because the Lord stopped me at different places and had me teach and counsel and minister and cast out a bunch of devils here and there. And by the time I got to California, God had proven his word again. He says, I am a rewarder of those that diligently seek me. And my rewards were that I'd made that trip across the country on those recap tires, plenty of gas, plenty of places to stay and food, and had over $400 in my pocket when I got there. Where God abides, God provides.
Yes, thank the Lord.
Hallelujah. I don't care what your head says or my head says or anybody else's head says. Where God abides, God provides. Hallelujah. All right, verse 2 says, do not be conformed to this world. Well, I had to not be conformed to the world because in the world, you just say, well, ain't no way you can make it across the country with that kind of a situation. Why, that car will never make it. Why, you'll run out of gas before you even get out of Florida. Thank God I'm not of this world.
Amen.
You know where I am this morning? You might be looking at this physical body standing here, but you know where I am?
Yes,
I'm seated in heavenly places.
Yes.
I've been translated out of darkness and into the kingdom of the Son of God's love. And I'm joined to God. So when you're looking at me, this old outer tabernacle, you're just seeing that. But the real me, this hidden inside of this thing here, is not only me, there's also God. There's also God dwelling inside of this tabernacle. And wherever I go, God goes. And wherever God goes, I go. Because we're not going to be separated. He said he'd never leave me or forsake me. Well, if he's not ever going to forsake me, then I'm not going to forsake him.
Amen.
Hallelujah. It's too much fun walking with God. Who said Christians can't have fun? I have fun every day.
Amen.
Glory to God. My cup truly runneth over. Do not be conformed to this world, this age, fashioned after and adapted to its external, superficial customs, but be transformed, changed by the entire renewal of your mind. By its new ideals and its new attitude, so that you may prove for yourselves what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God, even the thing which is good and acceptable and perfect in his sight for you. For by the grace, the unmerited favor of God, and someone said that word grace simply means as an acrostic, God's riches at Christ's expense. For by grace, the unmerited favor of God given to me, I warn everyone among you not to estimate and think of himself more highly than he ought, not to have an exaggerated opinion of his own importance, but to rate his ability with sober judgment, each according to the degree of faith apportioned by God to him. He that would exalt himself shall be abased. And he that would humble himself shall be exalted. But even then, as God begins to lift you up, as God begins to use you, don't allow your mind to come into play and think, well, how great I am. The minute you do, you're headed for a downfall. God's not going to share his glory. The glory belongs to God. I mean, look at the wickedest, sorriest person out there. There, but by the grace of God, go I. The renewing of our mind. We must renew this thing. We must discipline ourselves to do what the Word says and not what the head says. When you know what the Word of God says, and you deliberately don't do what the Word of God says, then you put yourself in a position of rebellion against God. And rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and along with it is stubbornness, which is as idolatry. When you don't do what you know the Word of God says for you to do, then you worship yourself. You make yourself your own God. And the Father frowns on that. Really. Getting awfully quiet in here. Well, hallelujah. You walk on the bottom of your feet. If I step on your top a little bit, well, I just, you know, don't worry about it. But the only thing about it, see, you walk on the bottom of your feet and you don't say ouch. Isn't that right? So when I walk on the top a little bit, just say praise the Lord. All right. Putting on the new man will come about as you are renewed in the spirit of your mind. Let's look at Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians 4. And we'll be looking at verses 17 through 32. Ephesians 4, 17 through 32. All right. So this I say and solemnly testify in the name of the Lord as in his presence, that you must no longer live as the heathen do in their perverseness, in the folly, vanity, and emptiness of their souls and the futility of their minds. Their moral understanding is darkened and their reasoning is beclouded. They are alienated, estranged, self-banished from the life of God with no share in it. This is because of the ignorance, the want of knowledge and perception, the willful blindness that is deep-seated in them due to their hardness of heart, to the insensitiveness of their moral nature. In their spiritual apathy, they have become callous and past feeling and reckless and have abandoned themselves a prey to unbridled sensuality, eager and greedy to indulge in every form of impurity that their depraved desires may suggest and demand. But you did not so learn Christ. Boy, that's a picture of the world there in those verses, isn't it? That's the world today. Depraved, unbridled sensuality, eager and greedy to indulge in every form of impurity and so on. But you did not so learn Christ, assuming that you have really heard him and been taught by him, as all truth is in Jesus. As all truth is in Jesus. We could take that word right there. As all truth in Jesus. And that's enough for us to praise and worship him constantly every day from the moment we wake until we go to sleep at night. Truth. Oh, glory. As all truth is in Jesus, embodied and personified in him. Now, verse 22 in particular is really underline it. It's kind of hard for us to do this. The Amplified says, strip yourselves. Doesn't mean take off your clothes like the world's doing. Strip yourselves of your former nature. Put off and discard your old unrenewed self, which characterized your previous manner of life and becomes corrupt through lust and desires that spring from delusion. Oh, if I could just do so-and-so, why, I'd be just so happy. Oh, if I could just get that new whatever, I'd just be so thrilled. No. The only thing that's going to make you thrilled and happy and joyous and peaceful is Jesus. As long as your natural mind is in control of you in any way whatsoever, you will never find rest. As long as there is a spirit of whatever traversing around in your mind, that thing will never allow you to have rest. Verse 23 says, "And be constantly renewed in the spirit of your mind, having a fresh mental and spiritual attitude." And be constantly renewed. God has made it so today that we have the equipment, very inexpensive. We can buy the whole Bible for not too many dollars, but we can at least get the New Testament and then maybe the book of Proverbs or Psalms and on little cassette tapes. And you can buy a little cassette player for less than $20 in some places. You can get a cassette player that's automatically reversible, and you can put one tape in that thing and it'll play all night long. And if you do that, I guarantee you, you'll sleep well. Best sedative I've ever found. We have no excuse for not knowing the Word of God. Well, Brother Jordan, after all, you know, I work real hard. Well, you have a few hours to sleep, don't you? Let your spirit be fed on the Word of God while you sleep. It works. It works. The Holy Spirit will bring word out of this vessel. Then I wonder sometimes, well, where'd that come from? I don't remember reading it. Oh, you mean you haven't read the whole Bible? No, I haven't never read the whole Bible from page to page. I don't read the Bible as a book. You start in the front, you read to the back. I follow the leading of the Holy Ghost. He might have me to read the book of Proverbs a dozen times. He might have me to read the little book of 1 Peter 20 times until I get something inside of me that he's trying to show me. I was sitting in an Assembly of God church one night, way over on the right-hand side, and there's this couple that I knew sitting over on the left-hand side. And I'm sitting there and reading a scripture in Matthew 19, if I remember correctly. And the Lord said, go show that to that brother and his wife. So I walk over there and I said, brother, the Lord said to me to come over and let you read these four or five verses right here. He read them and he looked at me. He said, you know, I've read that time and time again all through that area, but I never saw that before. You say, well, how can that be? Well, be honest with yourself. How many times have you been reading something and your eyes are scanning it and your mind slips off over there? And if somebody grabbed your book and right then and closed it and said, well, now, what did you just read? You'd say, what? Thank God for those little cassette tapes of the Word that I have. I go to bed at night. Sometimes I forget. Most of the time I don't. I just reach down And I don't have an automatic reversible yet, but I'm going to get one. And I'll just turn that tape over and push it on, and within 2 or 3, 4 minutes, I'm asleep. It works. Hallelujah. All right. Verse 24, and put on the new nature, the regenerate self created in God's image, Godlike, in true righteousness and holiness. I believe the Word says, without holiness, no man shall see God. Isn't that correct? Without holiness, no man shall see God. Jesus made a statement in Matthew 5:48. He said, be ye therefore perfect, even as the Father in heaven is perfect. The little word be is a verb. It means action. If Jesus said, be like the Father, then that means you can do it. Because Jesus wouldn't tell any of us to do something we can't do. In Luke 10:19, he said, behold, I give to you power over all the power of the devil, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Isaiah 26:3 said, I'll keep you in perfect peace if you'll just keep your mind stayed on me. Well, God's a God of peace, is he not? So we can have peace at all times. Oh, no. Why? And, you know, after all, you just don't know what goes on around my house. Well, if it's all that bad, I don't want to know, but you take authority over it and charge of it, and you do something about it.
Good.
Isn't that right, Bill? I don't have any qualms about saying what needs to be said at my house. I just flat out say when any little idiosyncrasy of strife or whatever starts, I say, whoa, cut it right now. Now you're going to have it. We're going to have peace around here or else. Well, praise God. Got a lot of scriptures here. Might have to save some of it till later. Verse 25 says, therefore, rejecting all falsity and done now with it, let everyone express the truth with his neighbor, for we are all parts of one body and members one of another. All parts of one body. So one more and I'm walking along, you know, and this hand said, come on, slaps that one hand. And then this one, come on. And you know, I stop and say, now, wait a minute, what did you do that for? Well, that right hand didn't swing right. No, it was the left hand didn't swing right. And boy, the next thing you know, they're all, is that the way things work? No. We're all parts of one body. And in Jesus, there is perfect order. Isn't that right? So then we, as parts of Him, should flow together in order. No schisms, no divisions, no strife, no bickering, no backbiting, gossiping, slandering, and all that negative stuff. That should not be a part of us in any way whatsoever. And it doesn't need to be. If we'll simply stop listening to this thing, whether it's on your shoulders or somebody else's shoulders, and start listening to this. Say, well, you said that yesterday, yeah, and if I speak a dozen more times, you'll probably hear me say it that many, because I want to so drive it home till it becomes a part of you. Hallelujah. Well, let's go on. Verse 27, give no such room or foothold for the devil. Give no opportunity to him. No opportunity to him. You remember what I wrote on the blackboard? No, some of you don't. You weren't here. Do not allow yourself to become upset by people or things. They are powerless. Your reaction is their only power. Your reaction is their only power. A dead person doesn't react in any way whatsoever, irregardless of what you say or do to him. I mean, you can even dig a hole and throw him in the ground, and he won't say nothing. Jesus stood before the Sanhedrin court, wrongly accused of everything. What did he do? Didn't open his mouth. Can't you? I can just kind of picture him, you know, the inner man there, and they're saying all these things, and Jesus is standing there, and it got kind of on the inside, he's saying, oh, well, ho-hum, you know. Have at it. Have at it. I know something you don't. Yeah, we're going to crucify you. Well, have at it. He had done got the word from the Father, and he said, not my will, but thy will be done. He knew they could do whatever they wanted to, but he was going to come out of that grave. We need to come to that place to where we say, as spiritual beings, to this grave that we're in, this physical tabernacle, we need to come to that place so we can just laugh at the devil irregardless of what happens and say, oh, well, praise the Lord. I know what's going to happen. I'm just going to keep on trusting God, and I'm going to come out of this thing, and I'm going to be like Jesus. Well, now, Brother George, everybody has to sin a little bit. Well, my Bible says he that commits sin is of the devil. You want to be of the devil? I don't intend to be of the devil. Not at all. Give no foothold for the devil. Give no opportunity to him. Let the thief steal no more, but rather let him be industrious, making an honest living with his own hands, so that he may be able to give to those in need. Do you know you can't outgive God? It's impossible to outgive God. You say, well, I only got one loaf of bread, and that person wanted a loaf of bread, but I couldn't give him my last loaf of bread because then my kids would have gone hungry. I guarantee if you'd have given him that loaf of bread, God would have given you two, or four, or six. government had that orphan's home in Liverpool, England, it got down to where they didn't have nothing, nothing. And the people around there wringing their hands said, what are we going to do? And I forget, wasn't it, Mueller. He said, set the table. We haven't got no food. He said, set the table. So they set the table. And they got everybody around the table. And they just give thanks for the food. Give thanks to the Lord. Not a thing on the table. And George says, Mueller says, amen. Oh, go see who's at the door. A whole truckload of food. Right there. At the precise time. Amen. Okay, just bring it in. Put it on the table. And everybody had a feast. God's ways are higher than our ways, and His thoughts are higher than our thoughts. Hath He not said it, and will He not do it? I'm getting excited about this all the time. Oh, Phil, you better go find some lead so I can put it in my shoes. I won't stay on the floor. Oh, glory. Now, verse 29. If you haven't got this underlined in your Bible, please do so. Highlight it, underline it. Write it up on the doorpost of your mind. Put it on something and put it on your refrigerator and on your bathroom mirror and anywhere else that you want to. Verse 29. Let no foul or polluting language, nor evil word, nor unwholesome or worthless talk ever come out of your mouth. But only such speech as is good and beneficial to the spiritual progress of others, as is fitting to the need and the occasion, that it may be a blessing and give grace, God's favor, to those who hear it. I, for one, desire the blessings of God. I desire to be a useful vessel unto my God. I don't want a mixture coming out of my mouth. If I'm going to plant a field of let's say, butter beans, then I don't want a few black-eyed peas and a few lima beans and lentils and whatever else mixed in there with it. If I'm going to have butter beans, I want butter beans. If we want God's best, what are we going to do to get it? Give Him our best. John 1 says, in the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word, a little later on, was, it says, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And then as the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and the Word walked around, and the Word said, let there be sight. And the Word said, hear. And the Word said to Lazarus, come forth. The Word was made flesh, right? And then the Word said to His disciples and to us, do what I've done. Isn't that right? Oh, but that was Jesus. That was God. Well, Jesus said, then you be gods. You become like me. The Word. Old Smith Wigglesworth, several of his books over there, tremendous faith builders. He didn't read anything but the Bible. He didn't know how to read anything but the Bible. He wouldn't even allow a newspaper to come into his house. Look at what happened. As near as I can recall the story, he developed appendicitis and it ruptured on him, and they called this. The doctor said, you might as well get your things in order. You're going to die. And Smith's wife called her friend who had a grandson and was anointed of God. And they come over, and the grandson just jumped up and sat astraddle of Smith, slapped him in the side and said, get, devil. And the man was healed instantly. Instantly. Now, the natural man says appendicitis. That little anointed boy said, devil. Well, Smith went on to become that mighty man of God, And as his biography and testimony, when he was anointed of God and he was praying for people, if anybody come in the prayer line and say, oh, I got to ask about as far as they got, he'd slap them in the side and say, get, devil, and every one of them was healed. He never once had a failure. I remember one that they brought this lady. She had a large tumor. And they brought her up, and I don't remember what he said, but he said to the people, two people that were holding her, she just was unable to stand on her own, he said, let her go. And she fell down. He said, pick her up. Picked her up again, and he, prayed again, and let her go. She fell down again. About this time, the congregation's kind of murmuring, And finally, about the third time that this happened, somebody got up and said something, about where he was treating that. He said, you tend to your business and I'll tend to mine. Stand her up. Stood her up that time and he said, whatever. And now let her go. And boy, she just took off and that big tumor had just fallen off. May God's compassion become so developed in us to where we will get such a hatred for the powers of darkness that we will desire with every ounce of our being to see the deaf hear, the blind see, the lame walk, and the poor have the gospel preached to them, and that we'll cast the devils out and give him no room. That's the heritage of the saints of God. Turn with me to Psalm 149, quickly. This is another one you'll want to underline, highlight, tells you what you have as a believer. I'm just going to start in verse 4. Psalm 149, verse 4. 9 little verses in this psalm. For the Lord takes pleasure in his people. He will beautify the humble with salvation and adorn the wretched with victory. Let the saints be joyful in the glory and beauty which God confers upon them. Let them sing for joy upon their beds. Let the high praises of God be in their throat and a two-edged sword in their hand to wreak vengeance upon the nations and chastisements upon the peoples, to bind their kings with chains and their nobles with fetters of iron, to execute upon them the judgment written, he, the Lord, is the honor of all his saints. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Now, we live on this side of the cross. And we're not in the business of wreaking vengeance. We're in the business of knowing that we don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the principalities and the powers and the wickedness and the spiritual wickedness in high places that have people bound. But there comes a time when a person utterly, absolutely refuses to hear the truth. Then you simply do as Paul said and you let them go. Let the devil do whatever he wants to with them. It's getting awfully quiet in here. I better get back over here to Ephesians. But that verse 29, don't let any words come out of your mouth that would in any wise be negative. Verse 30 says, and do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God. Do not offend or vex or sadden him by whom you were sealed, marked, branded as God's own, secured for the day of redemption, of final deliverance through Christ from evil and the consequences of sin. Let all bitterness and indignation and wrath, passion, rage, bad temper, and resentment, anger, animosity, and quarreling, brawling, clamor, contention, and slander, evil speaking, abusive or blasphemous language be banished from you with all malice, spite, ill will, or baseness of any kind. And become useful and helpful and kind to one another, tender-hearted, compassionate, understanding, loving-hearted, forgiving one another readily and freely as God in Christ forgave you. Whew, I can stop right there. But I'm not. I'm going to go do some more. All right. Our renewed attitude and controlling the flesh will come about by renewing the mind. Turn with me to Colossians chapter 3. On over two little books, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. Give you a little tidbit here. Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, and Colossians. God's Electric Power Company.
Phew.
God's Electric Power Company. Thank you, Lord, for the anointing of the Holy Ghost.
Phew,
getting warm. Colossians chapter 3, beginning at verse 1, it says, If then you have been raised with Christ. Oh, you mean when I die, I'm going to be raised? No. If then you have been raised with Christ to a new life, thus sharing his resurrection from the dead, aim at and seek the rich eternal treasures that are above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Is that what you're seeking after? Or does your head say that you ladies need a new dress, and you men say you need a new pair of shoes, and or, you know, well, I saw that beautiful tie advertised. Well, if you hadn't have been letting the your eyes gaze on things, you know, if you'd have been being obedient to the Word of God, it says be content with such things as you have. Guess I better quit meddling, hadn't I? Oh, yes. Now, verse 2, and set your minds, and keep them set. If you don't keep your mind, guess who will? And here again is the desperate need for us to not allow a little box that uses the two gates of sense and hearing, of sight and hearing, to control us. You open the gate of sight and the gate of hearing, and you're liable to get an influx of things you don't want. A certain minister some years ago came home. He had several little girls, and the littlest one was 6 years old. And ordinarily, she was just as sweet as she could be. And this particular day, when Dad got home, she was just ornery as could be. Dad was in the deliverance ministry. He knew what he was up against, and he picked this little girl up, and he said, honey, we're going to pray and come against this thing. Said, you don't really want to be like this, do you? She said, no, Daddy. So he prayed, and he said, you demon spirit that has entered my daughter, who are you? And this word come out of that little girl. Perfidy. Perfidy. It means treason. It's an old English term. He said, all right, you devil, get out. The little girl bent over and coughed a couple of times, put her down, and she went on about being her jovial little self. God's opening up the spirit world as never before, simply because he wants us to have the very best, which is himself. And we can have as much of God as we want, or as little of God as we want. We better desire as much of God as we can possibly get. If we don't have on the whole armor of God, we're not going to be able to stand. Some years ago, I did a little teaching to some youngsters, little ones, and I got me a couple of old work helmets. One of them I picked up on the side of the road. It had they were somewhere around the docks and all, and somebody had stuck a prong through it or something. It had a hole in it about that big around. So on that one, I wrote all the negative words, you know, that I could think of that wouldn't be too gross for these kids. And on the other one, it was a pretty yellow helmet, and I wrote on it all the good words of the word, you know, the fruit of the Spirit and all the, you know, that and so on. And in teaching those kids, I said, now, which helmet do you want? So I put on the good one, and that's a pretty good one. That fit pretty good. The other one didn't have no liner in it, you know. And then I'd take and flop that, and it'd come clean down over my ears and eyes. And I said, now, that's not a very good helmet, is it? No. You wouldn't want that, would you? No. I said, well, you need that, the helmet that God supplies. And those kids don't forget once you show them something, you know, and let them see and hear. And it's the same way. When kids are allowed to spend hours in front of the boob tube, they become what they see and hear. Is it any wonder we got all the violence and all the drugs and all the other stuff running around? As a twig is bent, so grows the tree. Well, hallelujah. Colossians chapter 3, verse 3, for as far as this world is concerned, you have died. Well, have you? And your new real life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, appears, then you also will appear with him in the splendor of his glory. You can't separate God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. No more than you can separate your mother and your father from you as an individual. So when you got baptized in the Holy Ghost, you got baptized with Jesus and you got baptized with God. And Jesus said, I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. And that was the Spirit of God talking out of the man Jesus. On the day of Pentecost, he, the Holy Ghost, came. And he's been with us ever since. And he is certainly the comforter, as Jesus said he would be. Hallelujah. Verse 5 says, so kill, deaden, deprive of power the evil desire lurking in your members, those animal impulses and all that is earthly in you that is employed in sin, sexual vice, impurity, sensual appetites, unholy desires, and all greed and covetousness, for that is idolatry, the deifying of self and other created things instead of God. We are not to allow anything to have control or rule over us. We'd allow a person to have control and to rule. His name is Jesus. He is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. We'll either bow the knee to him and enjoy his presence and his peace and joy and love and all the other attributes of the cross that was purchased for us on Calvary, or we'll be forced to bow the knee. Jesus said a very powerful statement. He said, whoever falls on this rock, talking about himself, will be broken. Well, if something's just broke, it can be put back together, can it? But then he went on to say, but whoever this rock falls on, it will grind him to powder. You can't very well put a bunch of powder back to the original thing. So don't allow the rock to fall on you. You fall on the rock. Be broken before God. There's a ministry at, where is it from? I don't remember just where. It's Texas, I think. Mickey Bonner. And he's been really going to town preaching on brokenness. Being broken before God. Having a desperately repentive heart. Being sorry for your sins. Hallelujah. Jumping down to verse 12, it says, clothe yourselves therefore as God's own picked representatives, his own chosen ones, who are purified and holy and well-beloved by God himself, by putting on behavior marked by tender-hearted pity and mercy, kind feeling, a lowly opinion of yourselves, gentle ways and patience, which is tireless, long-suffering, and has the power to endure whatever comes with good temper. Jesus said in Luke 21:19, in your patience possess you your soul. Think about it. Goes back to what I said about don't allow yourself to become upset by people or things. They're powerless. Your reaction is their only power. If you don't have patience, you will react in a negative way. And you'll even sometimes think it's positive. You will try to defend yourself. We don't need to defend ourselves. God is our defense. Isn't that right? And if God be for us, who can be against us? We just need to make sure God's for us. So, hallelujah. All right, Colossians 3:13, be gentle and forbearing with one another. And if anyone has a difference, a grievance or complaint against another, readily pardoning each other, even as the Lord has freely forgiven you, so must you also forgive. Now, question. I don't want to see any hands. I just want you to let it stir around in you. Is there any unforgiveness toward anybody, living or dead? If there is, then get rid of it. Forgive. Remember, you don't wrestle against flesh and blood. The person is not the problem. The person is not the problem. Irregardless, when it comes right down to it, you're the problem. You're the problem, because if you have something against a person, that means that you have forgotten that you're not wrestling against flesh and blood. You're wrestling against that person. What about yourself? Oh, but I just can't forgive myself. Well, again, if that's the case, then you've forgotten that you don't wrestle against flesh and blood. You're wrestling against yourself. You don't need to do that. Forgive yourself, put it under the blood of Jesus, then forget it, just as if it's been thrown into that deep Mariana Trench, which is 37,000 feet deep over there in the Pacific Ocean. And it would have to be an awfully, awfully heavy object if it ever got to the bottom. Because in water, the deeper you go, the more pressure there is, and finally it just stops and it begins to move with the current. It reaches a shallower place, then it'll settle on the bottom. Hallelujah. We must forgive. Jesus said in Mark 11, he said, if you don't forgive, neither will your Father in heaven forgive you. But if you do forgive, oh, how good it is. Then Jesus said, now when you pray, believe that you receive those things you pray for, and you shall have them. But now, wait a minute, I prayed for something last week, and I haven't seen it. Well, the Lord didn't say, when you see it happen, then it's happened. He said, when you pray, believe that you receive, and you shall have it. I've got three children. None of the three of them are walking with the Lord, as far as the natural man goes. But by faith, they're all three walking with the Lord. Because faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So they're walking with the Lord. Hallelujah. The word is quick and powerful and sharp. Hebrews 4:12-13. Let's look at it. For the word that God speaks is alive and full of power. The word is alive because the word is a person. A lot of books written on those tables back there, they were written by different people, right? Most of those people, I would assume, are alive. So when you read the book, you're reading what come out of the mind of a person. Not only do we have what come out of the mind of a person, but we have the person in the Spirit of God. When the Spirit and the Word bear witness together. For the Word that God speaks is alive and full of power, making it active, operative, energizing, and effective. It is sharper than any two-edged sword, penetrating to the dividing line of the breath of life, that is the soul, and the immortal spirit, and of joints and marrow, that is, of the deepest parts of our nature, exposing and sifting and analyzing and judging the very thoughts and purposes of the heart. And not a creature exists that is concealed from his sight. But all things are open and exposed, naked and defenseless to the eyes of him with whom we have to do. Is it any wonder that in the name of Jesus, by the authority of the Word of God, that we can command demon spirits, entities, hey, get out, and they got to go. Glory to God. All right, let's look at James 1:21-22. On over there to the next little book, which says, be a doer of the word and not a hearer only. I wonder how many times within this little congregation here we have heard the phrase either from ourselves or from someone else, most of the time our children. Oh, yes, I'll do it. Well, Johnny, I want you to mow the lawn tomorrow. Oh, okay, I'll do it. Tomorrow afternoon at sundown, it isn't done. He hasn't been a doer of his word, has he? And we just stop and think about that, and how many times have we said we're going to do something and we don't do it? We're not a doer of our word. So what do? We deceive ourselves. James 1, let's just look at verse 1:22. But obey the message. Be doers of the word and not merely listeners to it, betraying yourselves into deception. by reasoning contrary to the truth. Hallelujah. Desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow. 1 Peter 1:23-22. If you're writing these down, I've got so much here and time's out. Almost. 1 Peter 1:23-22. Desiring the sincere milk of the word. And then to be spiritually minded is to be word minded. Because the spirit and the word bear witness. And the more word that you get inside of you, then the more the quickening power of the Spirit will jar on that word, and you'll come to a place of sensing this, feeling this within your bodily frame. The Spirit and the Word bear witness together. One time, some years ago, I was walking in a store, and I'm just one of those tables where they got stuff on it. Clothing, and I'm walking this way, and there's four or five men coming this way, and when we got right here, I mean, it was just like electrical charges, just went all over me. Well, I turned and looked, and the Lord brought my attention to a certain young man in those group of four or five men. Later, I was privileged to meet that young man, and I got to talking with him, and I said, you know, when I passed y'all the other day in the store, the Spirit of God just really quickened my being, and I knew that I was going to meet you, and I knew that you had really turned your life over to the Lord. The outcome of that was that he and I became good friends, and over the years I've watched him grow in the Lord. He was pastor for a while, and then one day they had a meeting, and a couple of the elders got to talking, and they said, well, we pay your salary. And he said, oh, wait a minute. God pays my salary. Says, as of this day, I resign. I'm no longer pastor. Stepped aside, and the next thing you know, he had a little sabbatical there, and then the Lord began to use him as an evangelist, and today he has an international ministry. One of his last meetings was in Pakistan, where he had over 400 ministers from that whole area come together, teaching them the Word of God. God's pouring out His Spirit all over this world, folks. I mean, good things are happening. Even in countries like Pakistan, where it's pretty rough on Christians. Yet there is a move of God going on.
Hallelujah.
We need to hear more about these kind of things. You're not going to hear that on the news, so-called. All you're going to hear is, well, who shot who? And you know, murder and more murder. To be spiritually minded is to be word-minded. Let's look at this last scripture, Romans 8:5, 6, and 7. Now that's halfway through this particular teaching. Romans 8:5, 6, and 7. For those who are according to the flesh and controlled by its unholy desires, set their minds on and pursue those things which gratify the flesh. And we could make a footnote there, senses. Senses. The word flesh comes from the Greek word sarx. It also and should mean senses. The flesh in itself can't do anything. It's just there. It's through the five senses that all the nervous impulses work from the brain down through. And that's the way it works. But those who are according to the Spirit and controlled by the desires of the Spirit set their minds on and seek those things which gratify the Holy Spirit. Now the mind of the flesh, senses, which is sense and reason, without the Holy Spirit is death. Death that comprises all the miseries arising from sin, both here and hereafter. But the mind of the Holy Spirit is life and soul peace, both now and forever. That is because the mind of the flesh or the senses, with its carnal thoughts and purposes, is hostile to God. For it does not submit itself to God's law. Indeed, it cannot. Indeed, it cannot. So we must be renewed in the spirit of our mind. We must learn to follow the Scripture, the Word of God. Obedience is better than sacrifice. If we could have just started out being trained as an infant in the things of God for spirit, soul, and body, we would eliminate the problems that we have had and are having today. I don't care what it is. God's no respecter of persons. And if the Word of God says that you are to be made whole, spirit, soul, and body, then bless God, that's the way it ought to be. If it isn't, then the problem's not God. It's us. Amen? Praise the Lord. Can I get you to stand to your feet, please? As the Word of God says that by your words you're justified and by your words you're condemned, I want you to say some words with me that would justify us. Is that all right? Say this with me. Lord Jesus, I thank you for this day. I thank you for the breath of life. I thank you that I'm able to move about, that I'm able to use my faculties. I give you the praise. The glory is all yours. Oh God, would you help me in the days to come to be more like Jesus, because I desire with all of my heart to be a son of the Most High God, a joint heir with Jesus, his brother, even as he is my Lord and my Savior and my King and my Master. He is also my elder brother. And I want to imitate him. I want to be just like him. So, oh God, help me. Help me. And I receive your help in the mighty name of Jesus. And I expect to become like Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, glory. Lord, give us a dose of the Holy Ghost like we never had before. Oh, okay. Well, now we've had the dessert. Now we'll go get just a little bit of that other stuff back there. We'll give these old bodies a little nourishment, you know. Thank you, Lord. Father, we just thank you. We bless Tony and the people back there in the kitchen, Lord. Lord, we just lift Tony to you, and we thank you for the talents that you've given him, Lord, in cooking and in playing the musical instruments that he does. Yes, and then, Lord, we just thank you for everybody else back there that has anything to do with the preparation of the physical food. Father, we receive it blessed in the name of Jesus. And, Father, we thank you that you do supply all of our need according to your riches and glory by Christ Jesus the Lord. Amen. Father, we give you the praise and the glory in Jesus' name. Amen.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.